going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, presented by Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. A lot to get to on this show. We are officially a week away from opening day in Major League Baseball. Got our guy Kyle Murray is going to drop by. He is an absolute baller for us over at FTN. He's going to do a lot of MLB DFS content for us over at FTNDaily.com. Of course, some MLB bets. I wanted to get his thoughts on MLB futures. You know, you've heard Tino and I. We're still going to continue to talk MLB futures, Tino and I, a little bit later on in this show. Tomorrow, we're going to have a fun underdog best ball draft, which we're going to take part in live. And then next week, we'll really hammer home some of our top futures. Like I said, we're just a week away from opening day in Major League Baseball. I want to get some fresh takes, though, just some different takes. I mean, you guys are sick of me talking about certain players. I'm sure you are anyways. But Kyle's going to come on. We're going to talk AL MVP, NL MVP. We're going to hit up Cy Young in both the American League and the National League. And we're going to look at home run leaders as well, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, we got a board of like 30-plus home run guys. I skipped a few that I just thought they had no chance. Like Max Muncy, you're off the board. No chance, bud. You may get 30 bombs, but you're not leading the league in home runs. It's not going to happen. So shots fired here off the top of Max Muncy. But I did leave a couple off the board, and I threw a couple longer shots in there as well. So Kyle's going to drop by here in the next segment. We're going to hang out with him for a couple segments. We'll take a look at some MLB futures. Just get a different take. See who he's feeling. I took a look at them. He's got one, like, I think two for each, right? Like a bit of a longer shot when it comes to MVP and Cy Young. And, you know, I have to ask him about his Detroit Tigers. He's a Detroit guy. They're on the upswing, right? They got some exciting pieces. They made some noise in the offseason. They're not yet there to win the division. They're longer shots. We already talked about the AL Central. That preview is live over at FTN YouTube page. You can check that out. We also have a couple other MLB division previews there as well. And if there's time, Tino and I will dive deeper into the NL East. We talked with Chelsea Messenger yesterday about some of her favorite MLB future props as well. We dove into the NL East. We talked a little bit about the Mets and as well as the Braves, but also want to get Tino's thoughts. You know, he's a Mets guy, but he'll tell you how it is, and we will dive into that. He's got some NBA picks. There's 9 games on the ice tonight as well. Dangle Batselli is live over at FTN YouTube page. If you're hanging out with us here live on our FTN YouTube page, subscribe, smash that like button. I see DJ Betts in the house, PTP, oh baby. If you do have any questions by any time, you can leave them here, and we will address them. I always circle back on our YouTube page before a puck drop if you do have any questions. If anything does change in the NHL, last minute scratches, you know, goalies starting or whatnot. But Eric Young and I broke down all night, 9 games. It's live on our FTN YouTube page. He had a great Will Smith rant. He thinks it's fake. He thinks it's all a show. It's Hollywood. He thinks it's all a show. I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with that. But we're not here to talk about that. What we will do is look at round 3 of the NFBC draft. And we looked at round 2 yesterday, and we looked at round 1 on Tuesday. So just taking a look at NFBC drafts, high stakes leagues, looking where just where players are falling ADP wise. And I have been singling out a player or two from every round, targets that I do like. So if we do have that, Tino, we'll chuck it up. And it is a White Sox atop the board here. So again, a little reminder of NFBC drafts, high stakes leagues, rotisserie leagues. And this is where we start to see relievers come off the board. This is the month of March. This is the last day here officially of March. Happy to turn the calendar to April, get rid of the snow so we can hit the links and play some golf and also see some baseball. But here we go. We got Josh Hader on the board as well. You see pick 28 on average there. Tim Anderson is atop the board. I love Tim Anderson. I think he's a stud. We talked a lot about the White Sox here on this show. Actually a lot. Last year, we talked him up earlier this week. I gave a little bit of love to Luis Robert. I love their lineup. I think it's going to be one of the better lineups again this year in baseball. I think they're one of the better teams against lefties, led by Tim Anderson atop the board. He's going to touch a lot of categories for you. I think he's a strong, strong target. Salvador Perez is the top catcher off the board. It is not JT Realmuto this year. It is Sal Perez. Shane Bieber, I love him too. I have some concerns with the shoulder. We'll get into him in a little bit. I know Kyle likes him. I'm a big Bieber fan. He's got great control. He's a really good pitcher. Hopefully he does stay healthy this season. Whit Merrifield has dropped down over the past couple of seasons now at pick 29 on average. You see Starling Marte, one of the newest Mets here, can provide a lot of speed, and that is key when you are drafting in rotisserie leagues. You want to have some speed. I said it at length yesterday. I'm not going to get into it too much here today, but you're not going to be able to win without speed. That's it. It's that simple. You can punt speed all you want in head-to-head categories, playing with your buddies in Yahoo, ESPN, Fantrax League, CBS, whatever it is. You're playing in a rotisserie league. You're not going to be able to win the league if you punt speed. You're going to want to attack it in the first few rounds. Marte still has a lot to offer, especially an on-base percentage. I don't know, Tino, if you've got any shares of Marte in underdog leagues, but I think he's a decent option over there. And then you, the second reliever off the board, Liam Hendricks. And then you got Aaron Judge, Trevor Story, another shortstop here. We got into Trevor Story, I believe, last week when he signed that contract with the Rockies. There are some splits that are concerning, but I still think he's a five-tool guy. He's going to contribute with, you know, 30-plus bombs. He's going to have a decent average, and he's going to swipe double-digit bags, and the Boston lineup is going to be really, really good. Zach Wheeler, I like Zach Wheeler. I think he's a strong target. He's just a guy that gives a lot of innings. He really does give you a lot of innings. You know, his strikeouts have jumped up over the past couple years, you know, from the early days with the Mets and all the injuries and the Tommy John and things that, you know, he dealt with. I think Wheeler is there's not a lot of pitchers that can flirt with 200 innings. I think he's one of those guys. Julio Urias, I think, is got a little bit more to offer as well. I think he's a strong two for the Dodgers. And I think he's a nice upside arm there as well. And then Matt Olson. I'm a sucker for Matt Olson. I love this guy. I have talked him up ever since I've seen him, you know, in the bigs in his rookie season. I think the reason I'm a big sucker for Matt Olson is I watch a lot of Angel games. Like, if the A's and the Mariners and the A's and the Rangers are playing, I'm not watching it. Like, I'll be honest. Like, it may be on in the background. I watch all the Angel games. They come on late. I see a lot of Oakland. I've seen Olson just torch the Angels for years. Him and Matt Chapman. I'm so happy that him and Matt Chapman are just gone from that division. But Olson, I mean, leaving spacious Oakland Coliseum and going and just getting outside of that division too. Like, Angel Stadium is spacious, Seattle's spacious, Texas is a pitcher friendly park. Like, he's leaving a very spacious ballpark in Oakland. And he hit more homers last year on the road than he did at home. 21-18 at home. He had a better average on the road. There's both sides of it, right? You leave Oakland, you know, clearly, I'm saying the word spacious a lot, but even like those fly balls, like the foul fly balls that most parks, it would go out into the stands. Those are sometimes caught, right? And then you get an extra at bat or an opportunity if you're on the road. I just think that this move for him is going to be great. The lineup is fantastic in Atlanta. And you see the note there, career highs across the board for him last year, 39 homers, 111 RBIs, 101 runs, 4 stolen bases. Not going to be a guy that steals a lot of bags, right? But he hits a good average, 271. I think he can get back there. You see the numbers on the left. These are the projections over at FTN from our guy, Vlad Sedler. He's got him for 564 plate appearances. I think these numbers are conservative a little bit, and I think most people are with their projections. Vlad will tell you that. Jeff Ratcliffe will tell you that. Jake Seeley will tell you that. When they're doing projections, even we'll bring on Kyle Murray in a little bit, his model, you know, a little conservative with some of the projections. I think he can top everything across the board. You know, maybe not runs, but I think RBIs is going to have a lot more opportunities to drive in runs with the lineup in Atlanta. I think he tops, I think he gets over 40 home runs this season. You know, even 564 plate appearances, that's him missing some time, right? This is a guy that I think can get over 600. I think the Atlanta lineup is going to be one of the better ones. And then you see he's the third first baseman off the board. And I think you want to attack first base pretty early, whether it's Vlad, Freddie Freeman, who he's going to try to come in and replace, and it's a tough guy to replace, but I think you want to attack the first base position pretty early with one of those three guys. And you see the min pick there. People are willing to take him, high stakes leagues, money on the line. People are willing to take him early in the second round, and the max pick is 63 is ridiculous. It's an absolute steal. He is my third first baseman in my rankings behind Vlad and Freddie Freeman, but I think he's a strong, strong target. We'll talk more about him in a little bit, but we'll bring in Kyle Murray. We'll take a look at the MVP odds, Cy Young odds as well. A lot to get to here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. There he is, Kamer DFS. He is our lead analyst over at FTN Daily, FTNBets.com. It's been a while, dude, since you and I have been on the camera together. He's also the host of The Optimal. Check it out. It needs a little bit more love. It is fantastic. Kyle does a great job giving some props, some plays, and also, man, we're a week away from MLB season, so I know you'll be diving deep into the MLB DFS this time next week, man. It'll be a busy day. Welcome in.
I appreciate it. I always love joining the show, and this is my first time talking MLB this season, and I couldn't be more thrilled to do it with you. I know we go way back, probably 2 years now, doing the MLB FTN live stream, so I'm pumped to talk some baseball with you.
Yeah, and I got to get in there with you too again this year and talk some MLB live stream. So, you know, we're going to have you covered from an MLB DFS perspective with models and strikeout tools, and Kyle's going to have his stacks and projections and ownership. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a fun time. We'll have a little bit of a tease next week. Maybe we'll have some free shows here and some MLB DFS content on Mean Streets, just to give you guys a little bit of a taste of what it is that we have to offer. Kyle, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. MLB futures. I want to talk to you about your Detroit Tigers. I want to talk home run leaders. Golf is happening right now. Masters next week. I know that you cover it all. There's a lot of different avenues that we could go here. Yeah, Kyle's in the house, and guys are loving it in the chat, and I love that too. We were talking Matt Olson. I was talking Matt Olson the last block, so maybe let's just lead there with home run leaders. Matt Olson. We got a board here of a whole lot of guys, and it's tough to kind of dissect. Clearly, George has highlighted Pete Alonso for Tino there, but Vlad is the favorite. This is from DraftKings, 7-1. You got Judge in there at 12-1. Shohei and Trout and Olson at 14-1. Gallo's also 14-1. A little bit later on down the board, I mean, I like Jordan Alvarez too. I think he kind of stands out at 15-1. Juan Soto, of course, at 22-1. I'm concerned that he's just going to walk all year. Chris Bryant at Coors at 25-1. I love the breakout last year from Tyler O'Neill. I think that this is a guy that can hit 40-plus bombs. Aloy Jimenez, I don't know if he's there yet, but I am a sucker for him. You know that I love the White Sox. Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to miss a little bit of time, so it's going to be tough for him. I did leave some dudes off the board in around the 40 range that I just didn't think had any chance. I just wanted to put some long shots in there. Trevor Story is at 71. JD Martinez is also at 71, but clearly he's getting a little bit older here. Luis Robert, we may be a year too early if we jump on him this year. Teoscar, and I thought Hunter Renfroe had a phenomenal season last year with the Red Sox, and he's going to be in a hitter-friendly environment in Milwaukee too, so I chucked him on there. But talk me through this board, and, you know, who's your favorite? Is it indeed Olson?
Yeah, Olson is my favorite. You know, a lot of stuff that you mentioned on the segment prior with the park shift is just so nice for Olson. That's just been the big part about his career. It's like he's put up these fantastic power numbers in a ballpark that really suppresses that. So now he gets to not only go to a ballpark that is anything other than what he had in Oakland, but also one that's pretty friendly to left-handed hitters. So I love the spot for Olson. And, you know, the Braves fans obviously disappointed to lose Freeman, but in terms of a replacement, I don't know if you could have found much better. Like, this is I might be higher on Olson than most, but this is a very good replacement, and he would be my favorite from that list. And then another name that I do like is another Brave, Austin Riley, another guy who showed massive power. A little bit worried about his inconsistencies, but it did seem like some of the swing and miss stuff kind of not got resolved, but it became less of an issue last season. So two Braves guys, I think Riley's 30-1. So that number I don't mind either. So Olson would definitely be my first choice, though.
I think so too. Tino, can we bring up that board? Like, Kyle, what do you think of some of those longer shots? I know it's tough, man. Like, even Springer's got so much pop in his bat, but I just feel like a DL stint, unfortunately, is like in his future, like one or two. He's just been bothered over the past couple of years. Acuña is obviously going to miss some time. Tatis is going to miss some time. I do like that Riley call. You did give a good long one. Yeah, 30-1 for Riley. What do you make of Luis Robert? And you know, I had to talk to you about the White Sox. What do you make of Robert? Would we be just a year too early on him? Just he doesn't have the pop yet to like lead the bigs. We're like a lot of these guys are going to push 50 bombs, like Vlad and Judge or Alonso. Even I think even Olson, these guys are pushing 45 bombs for sure. I don't know if Robert can get there.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, I think he's going to be the guy that does a lot of different things, but I don't know if he's quite in that you know, mid to upper 40, maybe even touching 50 home run category just yet. But I wouldn't be that surprised to see him develop into that kind of player. I think he's going to be one of the best players in the AL, you know, by the end of the next 2 years or so. And when I was giving you my picks for AL MVP, he was on my list, actually, and then I ended up swapping him around. But that just the fact that he's up there and just in the discussion for me says a lot. So, yeah, I don't know if he's quite there at the home run leader territory yet, but he's definitely a guy that you should keep on your list for future years and maybe even looking at an MVP type play on Robert. But in terms of another long shot, I guess Stanton at this number at 22 isn't bad. Like, we know, like, if he has that prime year, he can go for 50 pretty easily. Stanton could, but it's always about the consistency and the health for Stanton. That's always a big factor there. But I guess that'd be the next name that really stands out there at the bottom.
Yeah, you're dead on about Stanton, right? With both things that you say. I mean, he could have a month where he hits 20 bombs and nobody would be shocked, and then the next month he only plays 5 games, unfortunately for him. I really do like O'Neill, guys. I think O'Neill is, I believe, in the breakout last year. I don't know if he's a 278 hitter or whatever he had last year, but I do believe in the power. I think he's got tremendous pop, so he is intriguing to me as well. And, yeah, I do want to give the love to Tino, because last time we did this was before baseball even came out with, you know, the deal. Like, we just didn't know what was going to happen, when the season was going to start. And Alvarez was 20-1 at that time when we did our first video. Now he is 15-1. Let's switch gears and talk MVP. We'll break and we'll do some Cy Young in a bit, but let's talk Tino. What do you got there? American League? If you got American League, let's start right there. These are the coming. Couple picks that you like here: Jose Ramirez at 22-1, and Corey Seager, now a member of the Texas Rangers, at 28-1. As you see atop the board, some of this has changed as well. Shohei is now 4-1. Vlad and Trout are now plus 450. I believe Judge has dropped to 18. So there's been a little bit of movement. Of course, you know, you see Ramirez there at 20-1. You got yourself a better number. Jordan at 22-1. And you mentioned Luis Robert you were considering as well at 28-1. Why did you go with Seager and Jose? I mean, they're both really good players, but explain yourself, sir.
Yeah, so for MVP in the AL, I think it's so tough because it's already like you're just so far behind the eight ball going up against Ohtani and Trout, because Ohtani has the rare advantage of, you know, doing two things at once that, you know, we saw last year. And then Trout's just the best baseball player ever. So you're already at an inherent disadvantage not being those guys. And then Vlad even being up in that range is, I totally understand it because he's phenomenal, but those three guys, it's so tough to beat. So if you're not betting on one of those guys, I think you need to take a little bit of a different look at it. And the reason why Seager was one of my favorite picks is because I think you need one of two things to win MVP. Is either you need to be the best player on one of the best teams in the division, or you need to be just one of the best players in the league. And I think Ohtani, Trout, and Vlad had those kind of wrapped up. So if you're looking to take home an MVP bet that isn't one of those guys, Seager on the Rangers, who I think people are kind of counting on being an up-and-coming team. They went out and spent a ton of money at 28-1. He makes some sense because if the Angels are a team that maybe doesn't compete the way that they want to and kind of how they've been competing over the last few years, I'm sorry, Meanie, but the Rangers can be a team to take advantage of that. And if they're going to be one of the better teams in the division and in the AL, I think that could go a long way in terms of boosting Seager's production and his kind of voting efficiency, right? And then Ramirez is just one of the best players that I think isn't getting enough credit because he's kind of going to be on a bad team. And I mean, he's just one of the best hitters in baseball. And I think that if he was on a better team, or maybe he didn't have the kind of the year that he had a year and a half ago, where he kind of struggled for, you know, the 75% of the season, that he would be up there with the Vlad and Ohtani and Trout type numbers. Maybe he'd be like 10-1 or plus 1,000 or something like that. But I just think he's just one of the better hitters in baseball. So I think that number is a little too low.
Yeah, it's interesting about Jose Ramirez is because of some of the trade rumors. But I mean, he's clearly still one of the best players in baseball. In fantasy baseball leagues, I mean, I just talked round three of NFBC leagues in the first block, but we did round one and he was pick number two on average, and in some spots like the first pick off the board. I mean, he touches a lot of categories. If Cleveland does hang around, he's probably a big reason why they do, so I see that side of it as well. But if he were to get traded to the Blue Jays or something, then like that would just be like, oh no, like how would he win an MVP on a team like that? But again, we're speculating. I do like the Seager call, and Vlad, and with some spoiler alert stuff, I know a couple years ago he called like Christian Yelich out of nowhere. So he's been known for like that. Who's the next Christian Yelich? Who is this year's Christian Yelich? And yep. I don't know if he would crush me for saying this or not, but I don't think he would. I mean, we're close to the baseball season now. His content is great. There's a lot of great stuff in the draft kit. His Christian Yelich of like this year is Corey Seager. Now, he's a Dodgers guy. He sees him all the time. But even still, he did give a lot of love in the article to Corey Seager. So I do like those calls. I got to sprinkle something on Robert, though. I have to, man. Yeah, I want to get in before. Like, I feel like this time next year, if you and I are chatting about AL MVP, I think his odds are a little bit different. Just before we move over to the NL, I wonder if last year is a precedent. Like, if I said this before to some people, I want to get your thoughts. If Ohtani does the same thing as last year, very similar, is it his award to lose again? Or are they just like, okay, you did something that you never done, that we've never really seen before. We gave you the MVP, but is it going to be like basketball where, you know, even years with LeBron, I thought should have won the MVP, but they gave to other guys like Derrick Rose comes to mind. Like I thought LeBron should have won 1 year and another year too, when Nash went back to back, I thought Dirk should have got it. And it was just Nash. And then they're like, okay, fine. We'll give it to you next year, Dirk. Like, is that going to happen, do you think, in baseball? Like, did Shohei set the precedent, or are they going to try to, like, is Trout and Ohtani going to chip into each other and they'll just give it to somebody else?
That's the one factor I think could be interesting. You know, if you have the Angels either maybe even not playing to the, you know, their peak, or maybe just struggling a little bit.
Let's just be honest about the Angels. They're just going to be an average 500 team. They're going to disappoint everybody. And they're
which
not
is crazy
playoffs.
To think, because you have two guys that are essentially MVP favorites, and we're talking about this, but it's been like that for the past, like, you know, ever yes. since they've gotten Trout, really. But yeah. I think that's the one factor that could hold Ohtani back, is that, okay, he has Trout, maybe that they're going to eat away, not only at people's perception, but of legitimate votes. But in theory, I think he should win it every year, as long as he has just a good year, because just such an advantage. Like when you look at the WAR numbers, wins above replacement, that's a big thing that the voters like to look at. He's instantly going to be two or three above everyone else just because of the pitching. So like, it's just an inherent advantage that, honestly, great call by you last year. I think you got it 50-1. It was something that everyone should have been on. So I think that is just an inherent advantage that Ohtani has. If he has a good year, he should be the guy. It all comes down to perception, though, and voting, and how that would play out between him and Trout.
Yeah, I mean, when you bet it every year, Kyle, you know, you can't really take too much credit. I bet it the year before, but my whole thinking with this guy was, if, again, like what I said when I bet it at the time, is that if he pitches over 100 innings and or close to it, he gets over 100 strikeouts and hits 25 bombs. And he was even better than I thought. I mean, he hit decent average and he stole double-digit bags. I just feel like if he does the same thing again and we don't see a Triple Crown winner, I just don't know how he can't be the MVP again, because, yeah, what he's doing is pretty unreal. Let's break, Kyle. I want to keep the balance of the show. We still want to do some NL MVP stuff and some Cy Young with you. And I do want to get your thoughts on the Tigers. And I do see a fantasy baseball trade request, wondering about Skubal. So maybe you can touch on him a little bit too. So we'll break, and Kyle and I will be back here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back to Mean Streets Live here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and Kyle Murray, K. Murr, DFS, the host of The Optimal. Check it out here live on our FTN YouTube page. So we did some American League stuff. Let's talk some National League MVP. Again, we have a board here of the top. This is from DraftKings. Things change pretty quickly. We do have the updated version, because last time we chatted about this, Tatis was up near the top. You got Juan Soto there at plus 280, Ronald Acuna Jr. at 7-1, Harper 9-1, Mookie at 9-1, Freddie Freeman, another Dodger, man, at 12-1. I can't believe these guys, the Dodgers, just get whatever they want. Look at them, Betts, Freeman, Turner. Tatis in there at 18-1, Olson, Riley, who we gave a lot of love to in the last segment to potentially lead the bigs in bombs, Arenado, Francisco Lindor, Vlad's Yelich, Pete Alonso, Tyler O'Neill. And then I had to put Jacob deGrom on this list, because, dude, there was a moment where he was not only favored to win the Cy Young, but favored to win the MVP before the injuries did pile up for him. Who do you like on this board?
At the top, you know, I try to stay away from the guys at the top like I did in the AL, because you don't really need to make a case for, you know, guys like Trout and Vlad and even Juan Soto. But it's Acuna for me, and it's a little bit different in this instance, just because of the fact that I think he would be the favorite if there were no injury concerns. And obviously, I know that is a big risk right now. It sounds like they're targeting a May return, which probably leaves him at a good point a month out of the season. But last year, throughout the early part of the season, he looked like he was going to be on track to be the MVP. He was playing you know, phenomenally. And I think Acuña is one of the best players in the MLB. And I think with no Freeman now, I think this is a chance for him to take a further step and showing that he is the next big thing, not only in the NL, but in the entire Major League Baseball. So I like Acuña a lot this year. And I think at this number, you're kind of just betting on a little bit of a discount because of the injury. Because like I mentioned, if there were no injury concerns, I think he would be favored. So that's the thing with Acuña. He'd be my number one choice.
Yeah, and it's hard to argue that. I do believe he's one of the best players in baseball, too. And who knows, even he could still win the MVP for missing the first month. There's some talk that maybe, you know, he'll just DH, right? And, yeah, you know, not in the field for a little bit. So we could see him back sooner rather than later. I wonder how much the odds will change. I don't think that they will. I originally, when I saw your pick last night, I was thinking, you know, if he doesn't play in, you know, if he misses the first month, would he drop down to 10-1 or 12-1? And I just don't think that he will, Kyle, because he's just that, we all know how great he is. And I think people would automatically hammer that if they saw him at any moment at like 12 or 14-1. You agree with that?
Yeah, unless we saw someone like, you know, like Soto or, you know, one of the Dodgers have like an incredible month to start, I don't think there's any way that Acuña would drop too much. I think this is kind of his floor right here.
What do you like about Yelich? What are you expecting from the bounce back here with Christian Yelich? Last year,
yeah,
475 plate appearances, only 9 bombs, but he's only a couple years removed from 44 homers and a 329 average. Like, he still has a lot of pop in his bat.
It's all about health for Yelich. I know he's dealing with the back injury that seems a little bit more of a concern. He fractured his knee last year, which is just a complete fluke injury. The back injury is the one that I think is the substantial one that could be something that lingers throughout his career. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know anything about how they can heal up his back and keep him healthy for the course of the year. But again, it's much like the Stanton thought on the home run leader. If this guy stays healthy, he is on a team that I think could be a team that makes a deep run in the NL. We know that they have the pitching. We know that they have some of the newly added bats like Renfro, like you mentioned. And we know what Yelich can be if he stays healthy and if he's at his peak. So, I mean, this is a guy who's won the MVP a couple of years ago. So 28-1. I think that's a pretty good number in terms of just hoping that the guy is able to stay healthy. If this Brewers team turns out to be what they can be and what they are kind of being built to be, it's going to be based on their pitching and based on Yelich having a big year. So it's more so just a value at the rate that you're getting at Yelich because of the injury stuff.
Yeah, and the upside and the ceiling. Yep. I think the Brewers are a lock to win the division, and I like them at 15-1 to win the World Series. Yep. I think when they get into the playoffs and they're rolling out a rotation that's Woodruff and Burns and Peralta with that bullpen that they have, I think they're a very, very scary team. Okay, speaking of pitching, let's go over to the American League. You got some Cy Young stuff here. We'll do Cy Young, American League, and NL, and then we'll get you out of here on Detroit. So, Tino, if you do have the Cy Young leaders here, again, this is from DraftKings, and we'll take a look at some of the odds there. Tino, do you got the board? Chuck it up, dude, if you got it. I know that I have it right here in front of me on DraftKings. I'll just read it off. I'll do the NL. DeGrom is favored. The DeGrom is favored at plus 330. You got Scherzer there at 8-1. So these guys are up at the top of the board. Burns at plus 950, and then Wheeler at 10-1. Another Brewer on this list, Woodruff at 13-1 as well. Peralta kind of came out of nowhere last year and had a fantastic season. Who are you looking at in terms of NL Cy Young? And also, let's address DeGrom, because if he has 25 to 30 starts, is he not a lock?
he absolutely is. First of all, that's the thing. Like, if he is healthy and if this team's competing the way that they plan to this year, he is a lock for the Cy Young. He's the best pitcher that we've ever seen, and I will take that wherever. But I obviously wanted to come on the show and give some fun picks. I could sit here and talk to you about why DeGrom is the guy. And I actually had Burns on my list for the longest time because I do think plus 950 is some value for Burns, who won the Cy Young last year. I think if it isn't DeGrom, it's probably going to be Burns. I like Burns more than Scherzer this season. So I thought about making him the pick. But my two official picks were Carlos Rodon and Sandy Alcantara for the show. And that's two, I think, would be long shots. I probably wouldn't go any longer than that because you have so many good options up at the top. Like, you have DeGrom, you have Burns, and then if one of those two guys don't win, you have the second pitcher on their team between Scherzer and Brandon Woodruff. And then Zach Wheeler, I think, is also a really good bet as well at 10-1. But when you're looking at some of the numbers that I think are very important from a real-life perspective, I know a lot of fantasy stats are a lot different. But when these voters and these kinds of people who are deciding these awards are looking at numbers, it's WHIP, ERA, K per nine, all that stuff. And there's a pretty a defined group of guys: Garrett Cole, Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom, Corbin Burns, Walker Buehler. All these guys over the last 2 years have received a Cy Young vote, and they've had a WHIP under one, K per nine above, or sorry, K to walk ratio above 17%, and an ERA under three. There's only two guys that have yet to receive a Cy Young vote, and that's Carlos Rodon and Sandy Alcantara in that group. So, I mean, Sandy has been one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball over the last 2 years, in my opinion. And I think he takes another step forward here. 22-1 is actually a pretty sharp number from the books here. I thought that he might be a little bit lower, you know, having a big name like Yu Darvish, even Jack Flaherty, Joe Musgrove around this kind of tier. I think it's a really good number, actually. I was hoping it would be a bit lower. But 22-1 for Alcantara, I really like. And then Rodon going into a very pitcher-friendly ballpark in San Francisco, 18-1. We know what these guys have done with pitchers. You know, we saw them reinvent Kevin Gausman, Alex Cobb. Rodon doesn't really need that. He's just going there to be the ace now. So if he's going to improve, I don't think he needs anything to be done based on his repertoire and what he has, but health and then the ballpark factor is going to be a big difference maker for Rodon. It would take a lot for him to win, as it would for Alcantara, but those are the sneaky guys this year for me.
You're dead on about, you know, guys just going over to San Fran. Even Alex Wood kind of, he got back on track over there. Desclafani had a really nice season last year as well. And then you mentioned Kevin Gausman. All right, there is a trade, but I did talk about from the fantasy standpoint. We'll get this on the way out, but just quickly, your two guys for the American League as well, the American League Cy Young, who do you got?
It would be Bieber for me. I know you talked about his shoulder injury. If he stays healthy, I think he's pushing up there with some of the top end talent. And it's very, like, I think that you can make a case for him being better than Garrett Cole straight up. And Garrett Cole's obviously very good. Mm-hmm. And then second for me, let's see, who did I have here? Dylan Cease, I believe is the name that I had. 14-1, another guy. So the pitching coach for the White Sox is actually Kevin Adams' cousin, I believe, and he was the guy in San Francisco that started that whole trend of the Giants and their revamp, and obviously what he did with Giolito, and now that being in that kind of repertoire with Cease, I think he's at a very good number. But I would be I'd be sad if I didn't put an E-Rod 35-1. I actually don't mind that number, Eduardo Rodriguez. It'd take a lot for him to win, but it's a long number.
Well, let's just transition into the Tigers then. I know Tino's got an AL Central board that we can toss up here. Obviously, the Tigers are 77.5. They're on the upswing, plus 750. I think a lot would have to go wrong to the White Sox for them to win this division. So there was a trade request from Josh, who said, I think it was Shane Baz and Skubal in there for Carlos Correa. So there it is. Maybe you can touch on Skubal and some of the things that you're excited about with this Detroit team. And I do like E-Rod there. That's a nice move to get out of the AL East and that tough environment, and especially at Fenway, to go over to Detroit. Touch on your Tigers here before you get out of here.
Yeah, so I know you mentioned they're kind of on the upswing here, and you know, people can be prospects for a reason. They're not necessarily going to pan out, but if these guys that the Tigers have pan out, Mize, Skubal, even Matt Manning, and then some of the bats, Torkelson, Riley Green, if they pan out to be even some of them, even a fraction of what people are planning on them being, I think that they are going to be a really strong team probably next year, or maybe even in 2 years, maybe not this season. But I wish you could bet the second place team, because I do think that they finished second in the division. I know the Twins made, you know, the big splash move with Correa, but I really didn't like the first trade that they made in terms of their win now. So, I mean, I think that the Tigers are the second best team in the division this season. I think that the division's maybe a little bit tougher than some people are giving it credit for, because I think the Royals are actually going to be fairly sneaky, especially when they get Bobby Witt up there. But I think it's the White Sox division to lose. But I do think the Tigers finished second, and I think their pitching rotation is going to be very, very good. And that's going to be led by E-Rod.
Yeah, 77.5 is a number that I can see. I could see them pushing 80 wins. I like that total as well. And I would make the trade. Josh, I'm kind of loosely paying attention to the comments. It looks like he said you have Trey Turner, Corey Seager, Bobby Witt. So it looks like you're pretty good shape there in terms of shortstops. And Skubal could could, I mean, Baz is a nice prospect, and Scooble is a guy that I don't think we can count him out yet from improving and getting to another level as well. So I do like that call. Kyle, appreciate you, dude. Fantastic, man. You and I will chop it up again soon, very soon. I know it. Check out the Optimal FTN YouTube page. And also, we're a week away from opening day. So check out FTNDaily.com/pricing and take a look at everything that we have to offer from a DFS standpoint. Kyle, we'll say goodbye. Tino is in here next. Keep her locked. Still lots to get to here on Main Streets. What's up, sir? Tino Rodriguez _ rocking the MLB, but we are going to talk a little NBA. You and I will have some fun talk tomorrow with the MLB. We'll do the underdog draft. We'll be able to really kind of dive into players that we like and teams that we like and some value throughout that draft as well. Your Nets are in action tonight. Are you feeling them?
Staying away from that game. I am emotionally damaged by the Nets this season, and I still don't understand why everyone keeps picking them to win the NBA Finals as an 8 seed, but I understand. I came on this show the other day and said I'll take them to cover, but I've never said I'm scared of the Nets until that game. And you know what? They almost lost to the Detroit Pistons. They did not cover. They managed to win, and it was an important game, and they're holding the 8 seed strong. But must win today against Milwaukee. Must win today. And I think Kyrie's going to go off. That's about the extent I'll go with that. But I do want to talk about, I have some picks for the people, and I will talk about the team that covered, and they're probably the hottest team, if not the hottest team, against the spread, maybe all season in a month. And that's the Detroit Pistons. They are 12-0-1, I believe, this season after their cover against the Nets. Yeah, over this last month. But you know what? I'm actually going to fade what everyone's saying and riding that hot hand. I think it's a matter of time before the Pistons remember who they are. And if you want to talk about must wins, the Philadelphia 76ers, after Joel Embiid got blocked, people thought it was a goaltend, got blocked at essentially the buzzer by Giannis and lost their second game in a row. Now, again, they've lost two in a row against very good teams in Phoenix, against Milwaukee. No shame about those losses. But again, the shuffle of the top four teams in the East is not going away. And I think the Sixers want to be on the right side of things and have home field advantage as long as they progress in the playoffs. And yeah, the spread is a little hefty today, 9.5. But they've covered this number each of the times they've played. Oh, actually, one of the times they did not. They won by 8. But still, last time out in Detroit, they did cover this number and won by 11. I feel good about it. I think Philadelphia will bounce back. I see James Harden filling up the stat sheet. Even though he struggled, he'll fill up and find himself to have a good day. And I think Joel Embiid goes absolutely off. Look, the Pistons are on a magical run. I'm happy for them. I really am. They've been competing. Sadiq Bey doesn't get enough love. Cade Cunningham, I know people are giving Evan Mobley the Rookie of the Year, having a very good season. There's a lot to like about the Pistons and the way they're going out to end the season. However, I think the Sixers need this one, and I think they cover. Then I'm going to go with a game that burned us. So we were on the wrong side of things on Paul George's return to the NBA. One, I didn't think that was actually going to happen. It was rumored. It wasn't confirmed until the show dropped.
It was announced well after the show. Yeah.
So I was telling you, I was like, I don't know why this line is so close. But the Jazz, mind all of that, the Jazz were up 25 points in that game against the Clippers and lost because of Paul George. And, you know, maybe I'll get burnt because the Chicago Bulls can't beat good teams. But I don't think the Clippers are that good. So there's a 3-point spread here. If you want to lay the number, go ahead and do it. They won by 10 the only time these teams played in L.A., obviously without Paul George. I just think the Bulls are in a spot here. Losers of 3 out of the last 5, but have won 2 out of the last 3. I think they got to keep winning. They're in the middle of the East there. They got to somehow gain momentum going into the playoffs. If not, I think their season's all but over in the first round of the NBA playoffs. But Paul George is back. I would blame people for trying to ride the hot hand and backing that, but I'm going to go with the Bulls. And then lastly, I'm going to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers +5 against the Atlanta Hawks. These games have just been close. I know the Cavs have kind of been up and down, especially on the road. Loses a 4 of the last 5. The Hawks win is a 4 of the last 5. But for all those reasons why I'm fading the chalk here is that these games have been close. Cleveland won the first one by 6. Atlanta won the next one by 3. Cleveland lost by 8 points. Like, I just think these games are going to be close. No Evan Mobley, it seems like. But again, that's what I'm looking at right now. We don't know with the NBA. Pay attention. Atlanta, a hot team. But I can see Cleveland hanging around to at least cover this number. And I want to give you guys a dog. So I'm going to take the +5 in Cleveland. And hopefully the Nets don't break my heart tonight, meaning. Hopefully.
I think the Nets are going to win today, man. I got a good feeling about the Nets. I think it's going to be a big KD game. You think it's going to be a big Kyrie game, but chances are they're both probably going to have strong games. Yeah, they're both good. We were right about the Mavs over the Cavs yesterday. Another strong performance from Luka and Dallas. You know, Paul George's prop, point prop at 23.5, it just seems a little low. Like, for a guy that came back in his first game in such a long time and had 34 points in 31 minutes, he had six trays. His three-point prop is at 2.5 at minus 115. Like, I think that's decent, too.
Also, if we're giving shout-outs, talk about someone who jumped and knew about Paul George coming back. Marshall. Marshall was in the chat earlier. Man,
this guy,
his ladder bets. That ladder bet was just, I mean, talk about envy. I saw it. I think his line was at like 17.5. Crushed that, obviously. Brought it all the way up to 30. I know it was a late surge there, but like, my God. Like, it was like 13.
I tell you what, man. Yeah. Your NBA picks have been good. The guys have been killing it over at FTMBets.com. Kyle Murray is part of that. I really didn't get to pump his tires for the NBA props and part of his model and stuff, too. He's been crushing it. But Marshall, who was in this chat earlier to talk about the Mets, I think. There it was. Marshall Gershon. Why are the Mets going to win the World Series this year? Let's just stick to basketball, Marshall. No, I'm kidding. Jokes aside. He has been absolutely on fire.
He's back.
Dude, are you kidding me with these NBA props? And do you want to come on Mean Street next week and hook us up with some winners? The guy won like 48 units in a two-day span. 48 units. I mean, you think, I don't know what he did yesterday, but last time I checked,
I imagine he won
90 units. He could be well over the century mark now. I don't know if there's a dude higher right now, hotter right now. Than that. We got a break. I appreciate you having the conversation with the baseball chat. The baseball trade there. It does seem like that you took care of the question from Josh, and I think you said to do the deal.
No, so the only reason I said not to right now is just because he has great shortstops. Correa is a really good shortstop. He has a good problem to have. Shop him. That's all I'm saying. Shop him. If you got to settle on that's the best offer, you need arms. I get it, but Baz is going to take at least a month, maybe two, and elbow surgeries are very tricky. So essentially, you're going to trade Scooble for Correa right now, and that's, you know, murky waters.
I think you could do better, too. Yeah, I think you can do better. I mean, Carlos Correa is a pretty good bat. You should be able to get a stud. Look at this guy, Marshall, 92.32 units. Give me a couple of days to get over 100. Oh, man, this guy's crushing it. I'm going to try to get some NHL shot props right for you guys. Stick around. Nine games on the ice. Let's fix this quick time and get into some shot props here on Game Plus Network. Always a great lineup on Game Plus Network. Happy to be here. Happy to be here. Look at these shot props here. Claude Giroux, 2.5 shots. Brock Nelson, 2.5 shots. Roope Hintz, 2.5. And then Sebastian Aho, 2.5. I'll actually start with the bonus here with Sebastian Aho. Like, if you look at the back of the hockey card, you see a guy not really clearing, and it's pretty underwhelming. But the matchup here against the Canadiens is prime time. Aho, 8 shots in the 2 games against Montreal this season, and he had pretty good performances. 2 goals and 3 assists in those 2 games. More on him in a little bit in the next segment, but I do expect him to have his way against Montreal. The Canadiens rank 6th in shot attempts and 7th in shots allowed at 5.5 per 60 over the last month, according to Natural Stat Trick. And on the flip side, the Hurricanes, they rank 6th in shot attempts 4 and shots on goal at 5.5 per 60 over the same span, the last 4 weeks, 5.5 per 60 from Natural Stat Trick. The Hurricanes, if you just look, I mean, this is a team that dominates play, possession. They always have the puck. They clearly are not afraid to put the puck on net. And the Canadiens are just lacking on the blue line, right? And Ben Chiarot has been traded. Jeff Petrie's sidelined probably for the rest of the year. They got a lot of kids that they're trying to, you know, see what they have with some of these kids. I like Alexander Romanov. I like the fact that he's getting some opportunities. He's been playing 27, 20 minutes here and there. So Sebastian Aho is in a pretty good spot. Claude Giroux has played 4 games here with the Panthers, and he has 12 shots over those 4 games. He's cleared in 3 of the 4. A matchup here against the Blackhawks. Chicago ranks 7th in the NHL in shot attempts allowed and 6th in shots allowed at 5.5 per 60 over the last month of the season as well. So I like Giroux. He's had a pretty good price at minus 110 over at DraftKings. Roope Hintz has a matchup here against the Ducks. He just played the Ducks on Tuesday. He had a goal and 4 shots, so I like him again. He has cleared 2.5 shots in 5 of 7 and 7 of his last 10 games. And then Brock Nelson is plus money. He's one of the hotter players in the NHL going. He's plus 100 over at DraftKings, and those north of the border at Bet365 can get him at plus money as well. He's cleared 2.5 in 5 of his past 8 games. He also has 4 goals over, or actually scored in 4 straight games, but he's got 5 goals over that span. 9 goals in his last 9 games. A matchup against the Blue Jackets, they rank 4th in shots allowed and 9th in shot attempts allowed at 5.5 per 60 over the last month. And they're going to be without their best blue liner in Zach Werenski today. I got a whole lot more over at FTNBets.com. Use the promo code MEANY, Mean Street. Save yourself a little bit of cash. The shot props have been good. I think yesterday was pretty bad, but we did get 8 plus money shot props from the Bet Tracker yesterday as well. So a whole lot more in the Bet Tracker. And to round out Mean Streets, I got some goal scores for you, so keep her locked. Welcome back to Mean Streets here. We got the camera set, so we got some goal scores for you to round out the show. Again, 9 games. Eric Young and I broke it all down over at Dangle Batselli. He's been red hot calling some goals. I got a couple chalky ones and some long shots towards the end here, but I am leading with Sebastian Aho. I do like Teuvo Teravainen as well. I think Svechnikov is in play, but again, those 2 games this season against the Montreal Canadiens, Aho had 8 shots, 2 goals, and 3 assists. I think he's in play for a 2-point night here. Teuvo had 2 goals on 9 shots and 4 points, and Svechnikov had 8 shots, and he had a goal and a helper as well. I don't know what it is about Aho. Maybe it's because he signed that offer sheet with Montreal, but every time this guy plays against the Canadiens, I just feel like he scores. You got Claude Giroux in there. I have been chasing this one. I feel like the guys are going to be trying to get the goal for Claude Giroux here tonight, right? Like, this is the spot. The Blackhawks rank 7th in the NHL in goals allowed overall, 3rd goals against at 5.5 per 60 over the last 4 weeks. There's no Marc-Andre Fleury between the pipes. The Blackhawks have blown massive goal leads over their past couple of games. I think Florida, they have the highest team implied total. We have a goal total of 7 in this game. I think Florida probably scores 5 or 6. This is the night they get the goal for Claude Giroux. I also think Sam Bennett is in play too. His home and away splits are off the charts. He's really, really good at home. Well over a point per game guy, and I do believe he's got 20 goals in 28 games at home. As for Lindholm, he's got 34 goals in the season. 18 of them have come on home ice. The Kings played last night, so they're in a tough spot in a back-to-back. Valerie Nichushkin and Jake DeBrusk in there. So these are all really good spots, right? The Sharks rank inside the top 10 in goals allowed per 60 at 5.5 over the last month, and the Devils rank 4th overall in the NHL over 3 goals per game. DeBrusk has goals in back-to-back games. He's playing on that top line with Bergeron and Marchand. Bergeron is plus money for an assist. I think we'll get that apple from a Jake DeBrusk goal. At least that's what I'm hoping. And as for Nichushkin, he's having a heck of a season. 2 goals in his last game. He's up to 19 goals on the season, and he is playing a lot lately. 20 plus minutes in 7 straight games for Nichushkin, and it does sound like Nate McKinnon is back in the lineup today, which is a plus. It's positive for Nichushkin. All right, good luck. Tomorrow we are back. We'll chat to you then. Cheers.